Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. We're downtown, Navy Yard Studios, 106.7 The Fan. You're listening to B. Mitch Finley. He's an NFL legend. I'm a big-eared blogger. B. Mitch, some bad football last night, dog.
It was good on the way on my court, but it wasn't totally bad. Denver came through.
It was just boring.
I don't know, man. Y'all want to see, what, 45, 50 games?
No. Cincinnati was completely inept. Yeah, the Jets were pretty damn inept.
So when one side is inept, the other side, I just give them credit. Halftime.
Yeah, maybe, but Cincinnati just – Jake. So I saw this tweet last night from this dude, Resh Manuel, and I retweeted it. I think he hit the nail on the head.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever limitations Marcus Mariota has, nothing can make you appreciate him more as Jaden's backup than watching the Bengals try to survive without Burrow by trotting Jake Browning out there.
Yeah.
He was terrible, dude.
He was.
I feel like he's played decently before. Those days are over, man.
This could have been last night, you know. He could come back and play some good games this year.
You're seeing everything through rose-colored glasses.
Not rose-colored glasses.
14 of 25 for $125 less.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm just saying, 14 of 25, he's over 50%. But the whole thing about it is everybody is not going to do 70%, and some of the starters don't get 70%.
Agreed. That offense was just – I mean, offensively, they got 159 yards. They gave up 512, so it's not like their defense showed up.
Well, their defense, we knew already, their defense was no good. And when Joe went down – hell, going from Joe to Browning, it's a drop off.
I mean, that's a
and I think
Grand Canyon.
What this year, what having a guy like Marcus Mariota shows teams is, you got to stop just going with the guy that you're comfortable with and go with a guy who can actually help you. And a lot of these teams go with the backup quarterback, who their guy is comfortable with, or who they're comfortable with. The backup needs to be somebody that could go into the damn game and win games for you if something happens.
I think, agreed. And Browning previously had shown some ability. This year, though, it just hasn't been the case. They have talent on that offense. He's not able to get him the ball. Bo Nix did make some really impressive throws.
Yeah.
The drive right before halftime.
The running game down the stretch for Denver was good.
I mean, when you're up 28-3, it should be
pretty good. I'm saying, though, they ran the ball effectively, both the starting running back and the backup.
Yeah. Denver looked pretty good. That was kind of the Denver I think we were expecting. Finally starting to show up. I thought Nix has a rocket of an arm, showed that a few times. The other game, Jets-Dolphins. I told you I wasn't going to stay up. I tried
Tyreek
watching
hurt, when Tyreek got hurt, I think that whole game just took a turn. Like, being in a situation where I've seen guys get hurt, and you see his knee, like, his leg going the way that it's not supposed to be going, that messes people's heads up. It's hard to just say, oh, I'm just going to go back and play. You have to do it, but it's not that easy for everybody.
Looking at that Jets-Dolphins game, the Tyreek injury, obviously, you hate to see it. Have you ever known someone to dislocate a knee? It seems like
I didn't see the knee, but I saw Shep come out, and this part of his arm was going that way. So watching the elbow be dislocated, and all, it's hard as hell to just jump back out there and just go for it. But in essence, you have to, or you're going to end up hurt.
Tyreek, at this stage, this seems like a pretty severe injury, I would say. Tyreek is now 31. He'll turn 32 in August. He'll be 32 before next season starts. I think we assume his season's done with a dislocated knee, right? I don't know. I haven't. Maybe there's reports out there of how long he's going to be out. What do you think this means for Tyreek's career? A speed guy.
Well,
you know, with now a massive injury. He's never sustained
a big
injury.
They say his knee was dislocated.
That's the report. I don't know.
So if they don't come out and say all the ligaments are torn, hell, he could bounce back quicker from that than he would an ACL.
No, dude.
So everything's torn?
The latest report, I'm seeing this from NFL.com. Hill's dislocated knee has multiple torn ligaments, including his ACL.
That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. A dislocation with all those ligaments, and he's a speed guy, is going to be tough. Now,
from Rappaport, Hill will undergo surgery today. It is possible that additional surgeries could be required, and there's no guarantee he'll be ready for 2026.
Well, there's no guarantee he'll be ready. First of all, you lose one, you have one ligament. You got multiple ligaments and all, and you got to get everything back. Listen, anything is possible.
Sure, of course.
But that takes.
We saw Alex Smith come.
That takes Alex Smith's knee was worse than his. A leg was worse than his. That takes a hell of a lot of dedication. And is he still a guy who's that dedicated? You get what I'm saying?
Sure, it's a fair question.
I think a younger person who hasn't made that money may have more drive to do it. Or Tyreek could be the guy who just want to prove people wrong.
Can I say just one random aside, like a personal silver lining, perhaps for you too, because you get the question too. I don't think Washington was ever going to trade for Tyreek Hill. I don't think he strikes me as a Dan Quinn, Adam Peters kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But like now, as we get close to the trade deadline in a month, it's not going to be a topic.
That's not going to be a topic. It's not going to be.
It would have been.
It probably would have been, but I think the ultimate thing, listen, bro, you got to look at what they're trying to build. And I think the problem with this whole thing right now is, and this was mentioned a lot last night at the little dinner I went to, we had so much success last year that people forgot that we are building something. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The success last year made people think we are already there. No, we're still building. And you're trying to build something that's going to be sustained, that could be sustained. That's where the problems are. So we got to understand that. We get to a point where you see something positive and everybody just jump to the end instead of understanding, although it looked good last year, you still got a lot of things to get going.
I mean, if you're looking for optimism for Washington, it sure seems like Jaden's going to play this week. There's a report over the weekend, I think from Rappaport, that, you know, there's all signs point to it. Dan Quinn yesterday was, you know, hardly definitive, but he said Jaden had a really good workout and we've got a practice plan for him this week, and that's how it's going. I tend to agree that I personally think Jaden's going to play this week. That's my reading. I'm not reporting anything there. That's just my reading of the situation. I think that will give them a big boost. What do you think it'll mean for Jaden to be able to go back to L.A. and play in his – he's from inland from there, but
yeah,
he's a SoCal kid.
Yeah, he's a SoCal kid. And when, like, the thing about it, no matter when, you get a chance to play at home and you know it's going to be some of his friends or family there. You want to put on a great performance. But the thing I like about Jaden is that he is not going to try to do more than it takes. He's just going to go play the game, and when somebody gives him something, he's going to take it. I don't see him as a guy, and we watched him all last year, that gets to a certain situation and say, oh, I'm going to try and do this, and go away from what the offense entails.
I think in the Green Bay game where he did get hurt and he was just getting smoked throughout that game, just getting hit, I think the offense broke down so much that Jaden probably tried to do a little more on his own.
Well, if the offense breaking down and you're not blocking, I'm going to try to protect myself. So that's what he's trying to do.
Right.
You know, if you watch any quarterback, I don't care what level they are, rookie, 14-year vet, 18-year vet, if you constantly see the other color coming through the line, you are not standing still. You're getting the hell out of there. And I would recommend it.
Yeah. I mean, the Green Bay game was such a disaster for them that everything kind of broke down. I think, you know, the Atlanta game, they really did have chances. They just couldn't get a stop. What do you think, as today's the players' off day, I'm sure a ton of them will be in today regardless. You know, yesterday a lot were probably in watching film, getting treatment, whatever. What do you think, DQ yesterday, I tried to ask him, because if you try to ask a question like, yo, are you going to bench Marshawn? Like, he's just not going to answer that. But I asked Dan, hey, man, is there like a timeline where you stop wondering if it's an execution issue and it needs to be a scheme or personnel issue? Like, we're now four games into the season. Mm-hmm. The coverage busts have been a problem through four games of the season. We're a quarter of the way into this thing. Yeah. It's not a small sample size anymore. Mm-hmm. What, like, when you were playing, I mean, you played for one current, one future Hall of Fame coaches. Yeah. When would like Joe and Andy decide, all right, this isn't working, we need to do something else, whether that means change the people on the field, change how we're coaching it, change how we're
the coaches are already tweaking and trying to change things. They don't wait until week four. They already know if something's not working, and they are trying to tweak little things, and if it continues, then they're going to make a move. I think you will see some level of change after this week. And it may not be anything that we're going to notice, but they're going to make a level of change. Because right now, if they've already adjusted the scheme or if they had different people on the field, they're going to change that. You also have injuries in there that's included. Do you count some of that stuff in? When Percy comes back, does something change up a little bit? We don't know. But I think coaches, we see it way after they see it. But they're not going to just throw it in the trash after a week or two or three when they've been putting this in for the last 6 months or whatever. You know what I mean? You're not going to just trash the whole thing, because if you have something you believe in, you're going to keep trying to push it. And then maybe at this point they may say, well, we got to get other personnel out there. Or somebody better start communicating better. Because, like, you know, a few years ago, if the ball's being snapped and you're still talking, that's a problem to me. Because that ball snapping, you looking at your player, all of a sudden that damn receiver's in your chest. A little too late now. All that stuff should be done. When that quarterback gets on the center and start talking, boom, communication over. We should know what we're doing right now. And that didn't look like that on Sunday.
Where do you lean? Like, do you think communication's a problem? Execution's the problem? Scheme's the problem? Personnel's the problem?
If communication is a problem, execution's going to be a problem.
Right.
If communication's a problem, no matter who you have out there, the personnel's going to be a problem. You see what I'm saying? So they have to figure out a way and find out. Listen, my mindset is old school. You got to move at a quicker pace in practice to be able to know how it's going to happen in the game. In practice, a lot of times, it's so low-key, laid-back, and especially these days. But in that game, you don't have all that damn time. You know what I mean? You have to be able to do it quickly and then have it become second nature to you. Didn't look like second nature to me. I saw a lot of talking going on, but in the end, we didn't see any solutions being derived.
Totally.
So
I asked Dan, like,
why? What? I don't know.
My question was like, is there a timeline where you wonder about execution versus players' scheme? And I thought his answers kind of echoes your point, B. He said, you want to do both. You're kind of coaching all the time through it at first to make sure the technique's right. Can we dig into something to get it aligned like we want it to align? Then the second thing you want to see is there repeat issues that could come up,
yeah,
whether it's scheme or player, and now you have four games of work as opposed to one or two. So I think there's this thought that, like, they're not looking at stuff or trying to make adjustments. I think that's crazy. They're obviously trying.
Oh, yeah, they're trying to. Listen, bro, nobody in the NFL look at the stuff that's not working and say, I'm not going to try to adjust it. You know, whether you have a conversation and say, hey, try this, and if you see this, do this. If the person goes out there and he doesn't do it, I tried to make a change, did I not? So it's going to come down to they're figuring it out. But this is the time right now, week five now, you're talking about almost a third of the way through the season. You got to make adjustments to be able to move forward.
And now you've got a big game on the road in L.A. They've had these slow starts on the road. I just feel like slow starts on the road cannot be that just cannot continue to happen.
Slow starts.
Four out of five games are on the road right now.
Slow starts can't continue to happen. It's not just on the road. Whether they're at home, on the road, you can't start off slow. Now, it gets exemplified. It gets to be even magnified when you're on the road because you're fighting a hostile crowd. And if they get the crowd behind them, that's a trouble. That's trouble for you. They just got to figure that out. And that's not just that's not just a coach thing. It's players too. You know, players get to the point where I'm at home, I'm comfortable. Well, hell, do the things as close as you possibly can on the road like you do at home. You know, like, let's say we had a Monday night game. If I were here, we already have gone to the hotel anyway. So on the road, I tried to do everything exactly like I did at home. You know, I want to get to the stadium at the same time. Like, when I was either here or in Philly, whenever we had a late game, I got immediately out of that damn hotel. I don't lay around when I'm at home on any game. So why am I going to lay around all day just because I'm on the road or something? I get up and I go somewhere. And then all of a sudden I come back home about that 3 to 4 hour point where you start to get yourself prepared for the game. I did that. Guys got to figure out a way. And as I said before, there are certain guys on the team where you look for energy and motivation. Whoever those guys are, they got to be that guy bringing the guys with you. Because some guys don't need to be motivated. Some guys just naturally that way.
I heard Von Miller on with the Junks this morning, and they asked a question that was kind of like, hey, you know, you guys just lost. The Chargers just had a bad loss, too, to the Giants, who hadn't won yet. What does it mean going into a game like that? And Von was like, they're pissed, but we're pissed, too. It's just going to be a bunch of pissed off teams.
Yeah, that's it. And it's both people are pissed, but it comes down to who gets their mind right and correct the things that they did not do well last week. Who does the best at that? You can be pissed all you want. Being pissed off don't make you win games. Correcting it and finding out why you're pissed off and why the game went the way that it did, why you couldn't do the things that you're capable of doing. When you figure that out quickly, you can go and be successful. But if you're just pissed off, you're going to be just a pissed off person. That don't make you better.
John Keim, ESPN Commanders reporter and host of the John Keim Report, will join the program next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Excited to jump on the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV and talk to our friend Mr. John Keim. You can follow him on Twitter at John_Keim, K-E-I-M. You can check him out at the John Keim Report, all of his work for ESPN.com. Johnny, how are you, bud?
What up, guys? How are you?
We're good. How are you?
Dude, how do you balance?
I don't know.
Four games in, they're 500, they're 2-2, but a lot of people think the sky is completely falling. The sky probably isn't falling. There are also some recurring issues, particularly in the secondary, that seem like a problem.
Yes.
How do you balance where things are?
I think, and listen, this is not putting this one on the offense the other day, because the offense scoring 27 on the road should be good enough to win a game. But I think when you have a Jaden Daniels, he just covers up a lot of other roster issues, perhaps. And not that he's playing defense, but I think he just makes you more explosive on offense. And that puts a different fear. You know what I mean? So you get your guys back before, you know, I think the defensive issues, I'm definitely concerned about, because how are you going to solve them? Is it a personnel issue? I think you can look at it and think it's, as you know, maybe a balance of it, right? Uh-huh. I don't know how that's going to be solved. But as far as the sky is falling, like,
I'm going to throw John on hold, see if we can get him. John lives out there in the country, so maybe he's on a bike ride.
Yeah.
Let's try to see if we can get John into a good spot. But what he's saying there is you got to start with the fact that they went to Atlanta, scored 27, and were down.
With a backup quarterback.
I mean, they're down
missing your best
five
receiver.
Starters.
And you still, well, and a lot of people off of D, and you still score 27. You have to figure out a way. Ultimately, I think this. You are not going to go out and get players that are better than the ones you have right now. So either you got to get them to play better, or you just got to figure out a better way to get them to play faster, or just simplify things so they can just go. But you're not going to find a better player out there just walking around right now better than the people you got.
Let's see if John's ready. John, the biggest issue they've got going right now, in my opinion, are these big, giving up big plays, coverage busts down the field.
Right.
What do you think the fix is?
And I agree with B. Mitch. There's no magic way to bring in different players, right? So you've got to tweak whatever you're doing. Or, you know, and it's funny because, like, the first couple games, a lot of man, a lot more blitzing, a lot more five-man rushes. Last two games, more zone, more four-man rushes. So I think they're already trying to adjust to, like, can you help by playing different coverages? And, you know, can you keep – that's why, like, Frankie Louvoux hasn't been rushing as much, because they're dropping them into coverage a lot more to you know, maybe to help with that, and it hasn't worked. So – I think, the funny thing is, and I heard BMS too, like, do you simplify it? And maybe you asked Dan Quinn about that yesterday. Somebody did. And, like, they don't feel like it's at that point. But it's last year, I remember talking to Benjamin St. Juiced about this. And, like, he said that one of the things he liked about this coverage, about the defensive scheme and what they could do, is that it did kind of simplify for them what they needed to do. And if you're in a certain coverage, that if you give up route A, that's the weakness of the coverage. So, like, they're not going to ping you for it, right? But it simplified what they had to do. So, it already felt like it was in a good spot. So I don't know. Like, you know, I think you have to hope that, you know, is Marshon Lattimore going to become any different than what he is now? No, this is who he is right now, you know? And so I think what you have to hope is that the pressure, they can put more pressure on and start to create turnovers. Because that, like, you know, we've seen in, I don't know, and I think that's, and they, can you do that? They haven't done it. They haven't done it, no. You know, last year, and they've only created one this year. But that, like, you know, that would be a good way to help more, is to create more turnovers. But how are you going to do that? So I think it's going to be tough.
You know, I think, I went back to look and check out the play that Penix to Whitcomb on a double move.
Yeah,
he ran a 10-yard out and up.
Penix took 7 steps.
Yeah.
He hitched twice. Nobody was anywhere close to him.
Yeah.
And see, defensive backs, they are out there. They get blamed. If one of those damn linemen get to Penix, he's not hitching, and he allowed to get that far down the field.
Right.
So my thing is, if the trenches don't start winning, we can say what we want about Lattimore or whoever else. Nobody else going to be better. Because if you got time, receiver going to get open.
Time and comfort. And yes. I think like on that play, like there were a couple of times where they had hands in his face and he still made the throw. Like Penix, one of the things he did the other day too was throw with anticipation. There were a couple of plays where it's like it was unreal, the anticipation he threw with. But also I thought like he was comfortable in the pocket too much.
Yeah.
And like on that one too, and Lattimore talked about this after the game about like sometimes being over aggressive on things because of what they've shown the first 3 weeks. And on that one, I think even Grant tweeted this out, like 70.3% of the throws to Drake London were on air yards of 0 to 10 yards. So you're playing for that tendency because they ran the double move on both sides and Amos on the other side also was beat. And,
yeah.
You know, they had a step because, like, they were aggressive on the tendency. And so, like, that was a tough one. But you're right. Like, if a guy's comfortable, it makes it a lot easier. And, like, that's going to have to be the answer. Like, can you create more pressure somehow to help? And then, like, you know, the hard part is, too, if the man coverage is breaking down, well, then it's harder to blitz more because that's what you're putting them in. So, you know, you know what I mean? Like, so what is the solution there to generate more pressure? I think one thing is, you know, maybe it is that, like, you need to send Frankie more somehow. Like, can you do that and feel good about it? You know, feel good about the coverage in the back end holding up. But then again, like, the linebacker coverage is not their strength.
No. And, you know, I thought DQ had a fit. Listen, like, try not to be reactionary. A lot of people are reacting to a bad game in Atlanta
right. With
some explosive players on the field.
Right.
You don't want Wagner off the field a ton, but
you do
wonder what opposing offenses are seeing. Do you think there's a space where they try to get – I mean, I think people got to realize that just because Medrano ran a really fast 40 at the combine, he was inactive 2 weeks ago for an undrafted guy ahead of him. You know what I
mean? That's not the answer here. And that, like, the other thing is, too, what guys run in the 40 is not always how they play.
Totally.
And, you know, and, like, even on that, even on, like, the one to Robinson, that was a well-designed play by the Falcons. Like,
crossers really.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
that slowed up anybody trying to get out there to him.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not, you know, I think, like, that one's a tough one, but – But, yeah, like, I don't know that that's the solution. You know, and I think the guy, to be honest, if you were going to put somebody in, it almost has to be like, okay, is there a full-time solution? And I don't think they're not going there because, you know, if they're running the ball or whatever. So then it becomes like, oh, is Jordan McGee that guy? But they're not going there. We're just talking about coverage. So, you know, I don't know. Again, pressure. And I think sometimes, too, like with some of the linebacker stuff, like there were times in the past where it's going to be, you know, scare people. But like when Jamin Davis would be in coverage and he'd be in a bad matchup, and it's like, yes, we know it's a bad matchup, but play your leverage and mitigate the damage, right? Like that's sometimes the linebackers do. And so if you're preventing them from getting over the middle, getting an out route, and you give up 5-6 yards, like, okay, you'll live with that versus the big potential big play. So, you know what I'm saying? And like that's where the experience comes in. Can you do that? Because there were definitely times where he covered Robinson. Robinson's such a weapon, too. And that's the one thing with that game, that when you go back, when you before that game, like the Carolina game looked so different than their other games, even though they weren't scoring as much. Like Penix looked like just a different quarterback. In that game, it's like, where is this? Who is this guy? Like, you kind of knew, like, they have the ability to hang a lot of points on people because the talent is there. And so, you know, but again, like, let them get comfortable, let them get off the mat early, and then you're going to be in for a long day, and that's clearly what happened.
But see, people look at that one play and say, oh, we need somebody else out there. That other person may be able to check that play.
But what about
the other 68 plays he's going to get his ass whipped? And they're going to be happy with that? You know, it's just like, look, man, football has gotten to a point where we always want to talk about the exciting thing aspect of it, but you know what? Football is simple. You win in the trenches, you win football games. If your guys give your guys time and you can run double moves, you can score points. If your guys stop the other guys from having time, they can't run double moves, you stop them from scoring points, you win football games.
Yeah.
But the exciting parts, the receivers, the big plays, that gets so exciting to talk about. The trenches tell you everything about a football game.
Listen, ask Justin Herbert how the trenches are going right now. Like, he's getting pressured left and right because he lost tackles. You know, you're having issues there. And so you have this quarterback who's terrific, who's having, who had a lot of issues against the Giants.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, and the Bengals, you know, the way to mitigate the loss of Joe Burrow is with the line, which they've never been able to fix. So, it definitely, it certainly makes a big difference. And, I think this D-line can be pretty solid. And I think Payne and Kinlaw, I think Dorrance has done a lot of good things. But you don't have the Trey Hendrickson, but you have groups. But if you can do, and even Quinn talked about, like, they should have done maybe more stunting and things like that to help. And maybe you see a little bit more of that in other games. But, yeah, I agree. Like, if you can get that going, then it makes the back end look – it will help the back end for sure. And maybe you create – like Carolina, that pick six against Penix, well, they created that with pressure. And then they forced a guy, into discomfort, and he throws without getting his feet around. He just lobs one to the side. It's a pick six. Mm-hmm. You know, like that stuff happens when you apply pressure. And, but when you get comfortable, that guy's just a different quarterback. And everybody is. So, yeah, I think that's where you have to go, because the talent level is not going to change. It's just not. And if that's what people are worried about, like that's – you're not going to go out and trade for other guys, right? Mm-hmm. They did that last year. So, that's not going to be the answer here. So, how else can you help that coverage group? In addition to, as Quinn said, like, you can't, there are, the coverage busts are different. Like, you need to fix that.
Yeah.
And that's something you can fix. But there's something that's capable of fixing. But will they? Will it get fixed? Because that's an easier one. And if you can do that, now you've cut out several plays from that game Sunday just by, better communication, whether it's communication, recognition, whatever it is, right? That would have helped a lot. That would help a lot too, and that's something you can certainly fix. It's just that, will it be fixed?
You feel pretty good about Jaden this weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, this
me
sounds
too.
Like it's best. Yeah. And so, I mean, you got to get through the week. We know the deal on this one. But yes, I do.
Good luck to the Guardians, buddy.
Yeah. I hate those 1 o'clock games, though, man.
You're gonna be something while we're in the break between practice and the locker room watching this game on your computer in the press room.
Oh, no. It'll be on the phone. Trust me. I'm going to ask Jaden, Jaden, can you believe that Austin Hedges is up there swinging 0-2 and a low and away?
Thank you for the time, too.
All right, guys. Jay.
All right, see ya.
Thank you, John. That's our friend John Keim. Give him a follow at John_Keim, K-E-I-M. Let's run through some injury information. John Bates, Commanders tight end, will join us at 11:30.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Dan Quinn spoke at length yesterday, and NFL head coaches don't provide a whole lot of information, let's be honest. DQ's engaging, but I don't want to say defensive, but like I think he's trying to make sure his tone is calm and kind of big picture, which is probably not the tone most fans are hitting right now, but it's four games into a 17-game season. They got a ton of injuries. Now, I think there's a lot of optimism surrounding Jaden. We'll hear more tomorrow. We'll probably hear from Jaden tomorrow. But that's not the only injury, obviously. It's the headliner, but Terry McLaurin, John Bates, Percy Butler, Noah Brown. I mean, there's a lot of injuries going on here. This was DQ kind of providing a little bit of an update to the rest of the players, the injuries non-Jaden Daniels division.
Yeah, I'd say we're all trending in the right space on there, John. We'll have a better update on Wednesday in terms of practice planning and that. But arrows are heading up for a number of the guys. The big news today was Javonte with the game. But for the guys that have missed some, we're making progress.
DQ did confirm yesterday that Javonte Jean-Baptiste will go on IR. He's got a torn pec. He's got to get surgery. Ooh. I don't expect JJB back this year.
Torn pec? Nah.
Yeah. Like, it was interesting. So somebody asked for clarification on JB because he Dan Quinn didn't necessarily provide it. And he's like, well, it's a torn pec. It's going to be months. So I don't know that he's in their plans. I mean, that is hitting a defensive line that had already lost Dietrich Wise, especially as a big edge guy. JB had overcome some injuries already in his young career. And then to be hit with that, I saw him leaving the locker room. And if you've got a sling on and you don't have an arm injury, shows that they're trying to stabilize the chest. And you saw in his eyes that it was significant. And he's a nice young man, just had a sack the week before. That is bad news. I don't think they're getting Terry back this week, but I do think just getting Noah and Bates back would help a lot.
Oh, hell yeah. Bates, look, they ran the ball effectively and could have run even better if Bates was on the field. I still have the mindset if they run the football well, they're going to win a lot more games because now that's when Jaden becomes more dangerous, and now that play-action pass works even better. Bates helps that. Noah coming back will help. Those two guys will help this team. You know, Terry ultimately would take it over the top, but those guys would definitely help the team.
Another guy that could help is Sam Cosmi. He's eligible to return to the practice field. He's now missed four games. They could activate him. Dan Quinn talking about Sam Cosmi's availability.
Yeah, we're going to huddle up here soon, but he's getting closer for sure for, begin his window to begin practice. We'll give you a definite answer on that Wednesday, but he's really put in a lot of work to begin that window, to begin the practicing. So we'll huddle up on that tonight and tomorrow, but I'll give you an answer for that Wednesday, but it's definitely trending in the right spot, Nikki.
I've seen and talked to Sam a bunch over the last, 2 months. He's itching to get back out there. You got to let medical drive the bus, but, I thought the...
Does that help? Does that make the offensive line even better? I mean, you get Sam Cosmi back there, okay? Now, Wally, who's been playing well, I think overall, he can... You don't know if you need to worry about just Coleman or Paul. Wally can help out.
Yeah. I thought the interior of the line, I was kind of surprised. Biadasz had some really low snaps in that Atlanta game.
Low and off to the side.
And there have been some, in the last 2 weeks, there have been a few different, what just seemed like, and you hate to provide excuses on it, like miscommunications or something where there has been a blitzing linebacker go untouched a few different times. I think getting Cosme back at that right guard spot will help a lot. And to your point, B, like it gives you that much more flexibility. If you get Cosme back and he's performing at the level you've become expected to, then all of a sudden you've got Wiley, Paul, presumably Coleman, and Allegretti. Like you've really started to build some depth for the whole operation.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that can be positive. I also, in an effort to try to maybe turn the narrative locally where people, a lot of fans, I think the sky is kind of falling. That's not the opinion nationally. And then if you look around the league, there are a few teams I would say that have separated themselves that look really good. Philly, Buffalo, I'd include the Lions.
Yeah.
But this is a whole big old jumble in the middle. And you want football teams playing their best after Halloween, not on September 10th or whatever. Let's take a look at kind of what the national perspective is on the Commanders when we return.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.